All right, good morning. Let's see here, we got the AC on, trying. The AC's trying today. It's a little warm in here, man, I'll tell you that. It's all right. If I'm warm, you're probably comfortable, amen? Yeah. Hey, you made it. You didn't get sick?
No.
No, that's great, man. Amen, amen. All right. I think I got one birthday. Anybody else got a birthday? Anybody birthdays over here? All right. One birthday, my father-in-law, Larry Field, had a birthday yesterday. All right. Larry's back there in the back with Stephanie and my mother-in-law. And Larry turned 79. Big 79. Amen. All right. Very good. You want to sing some happy birthday? We got any announcements? Any announcements? How's Nicole doing, Debbie? Nicole tested positive for COVID. Oh my goodness. Okay, very good. Well, James was exposed to COVID, but James is alive and well. Some people are just too mean to come down with COVID. Amen. You can get 8 tests a month at Walmart for free. Okay. All right. All right, so stock up if you need COVID tests. Amen. All right. Sing happy birthday. Any other announcements? When's men's and ladies' Bible study? Next Monday, so not tomorrow night. That's right. So you're gonna jump it off another week. Okay, so it'll be the 11th. All right, very good. You had your... Oh my goodness. You had all the animals. Well, that had to have been fun. Not fun, Sharon?
Not the crickets for food.
Not the crickets for food. Amen. Oh my goodness. Amen, amen. All right. Well, let's sing some happy birthday. We'll get going here.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you.
Amen. Well, if you would, stand if you can, we're going to start out with singing, Ah, Lord God.
Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for Thee. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for Thee. Be the Lord of all, kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Yes. We honor your name. We give you all the glory. And we just want to lift up the the family this morning that lost their one-year-old or one-month-old child to you that you brought home today, Lord. We just lift them up, give them the peace and comfort to get through this, Lord. Yes. And we thank you for our pastor as he brings the word today, Lord. We just have you speak through him to us, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for all everything, the air we breathe, the water we drink. We just come today to give you a percentage of what of all that you've given us, Lord. We give some back to you, Lord, to be good stewards of your church, Lord, and we just give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds in me. O Lord, you're wonderful. Your touch is all I need. And when your hand is on this child, your healing I receive. O Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds in me. Amen.
Thank you very much for the good singing today. Do we have any kids? I don't see any today. Oh, there's two? All right, to children's church we go. All right, to children's church we go. Here we go. Yay. Two or more, man. Amen, brother. All right, all right. Outstanding. Very good, very good. All right, for the rest of us, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel. We'll begin reading here in verse 29. Those of you watching with us online, good to have you with us this morning. So good to be together. Amen. In an air-conditioned room, praise the Lord. On a padded pew, amen. It's getting pretty good in here. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 29, and we'll take it through verse 34 this morning. And as we read this, you might be thinking about somebody that you know that's lost, or you might be thinking about somebody that you know that's struggling, in need of God's mercy. This is a passage to maybe give to them, or an encouraging word to give to them, that God's mercy is just a what? It's just a call away. Amen? Just a call away. Matthew chapter 20, beginning. You believe that, right? Amen? Just a call away? Yes? All right. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 29, the Word of God reads this. It says, as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible touch that you've given each of us that are saved today. Lord, we came to you in need of grace and mercy. We came to you realizing that we were spiritually poor. We came to you knowing that we were bankrupt without you, and you touched us. Oh, for the touch of the Master's hand. We praise you today for that touch. We praise you and thank you today for our salvation. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin that continually follows us as we seek you and lay our sin and lay our failures at your feet. Thank you for your great forgiveness, and thank you for the great washing that you give us. May you wash us today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, I thought this summer was going to be a rough one, but the summer's looking up, man. I mean, she's really looking up. Rain could be coming tonight. Yeah, hallelujah. Rain could be coming tonight, which means give the Lord a hand, which means the heat wave's going to be a breaking. Amen. I'm telling you, the summer's looking up. And then me and my wife, we are 2 for 2 in picking good watermelons. Amen. I've picked a good one. She's picked a good one, right? I mean, I'm telling you, you go to the watermelon section and you start picking them things up. You're thumping it. And you're looking for a yellow belly or a yellow. I found one that it sounded good to me when I thumped it. It didn't just have a yellow side to it. The whole bottom, like it grew instead of laying it, grew like this. Whole bottom was yellow. I thought, well, man, fella, I go, you're coming home with me. Maybe you're sweet. And that was a good sweet watermelon. Stephanie come to find out, she got the touch. She picked a nice sweet one. Summer's looking up. And then I just heard on the news, Roe v. Wade has been turned over. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, you're talking about a summer of all summers. This may go down as my favorite summer, right? The summer that Roe v. Wade was turned over. Well, we give him the praise and the glory. We've prayed a long time for that. There are people that are in glory today that prayed way back when this thing got all sideways. And they prayed and they fought and they slugged. God called them on home. I hope by the grace of God they got to see their efforts finally paid off. All the time, effort, money, prayer, tears, everything. Roe v. Wade is turned over. Back to the states. You know what that means, don't you? That means state politics is now taking on a new dynamic, right? What we took for granted, having a conservative Republican House and State Senate, it's going to be contested now because everything's back to the states. So still got to pray, just pray a little bit different, right? Gentlemen, we came by yesterday, got a call from my daughter. She was down at the subdivision pool, and she called me, and she said, Daddy, there's somebody walking around the neighborhood. They kind of look suspicious. I said, yeah, I've already talked to them. Well, what did they want? They talking to me. Well, they asked me if I was going to vote for Greg Abbott. She goes, what'd you say? I said, well, yeah, vote for Greg Abbott. We're from the same hometown, and he's a good guy, man, and he's pro-life. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, enough of that. Let's get on to these two blind men, shall we? You remember? We just read it. Chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. What's going on in this passage? We find that Jesus, on this final journey to Jerusalem, that he goes through the city of Jericho. Everybody say Jericho? He goes through the city of Jericho. Now, what does the name Jericho mean? Has anybody ever talked to you about what that means? Anybody ever hear what this name Jericho means? Jericho means to smell, right? You seen the commercial, the Old Spice commercial, the old boy, he's in therapy with his wife. He's in therapy with his wife because his wife is now using his body wash. He says, no fair, amen? I mean, the smell good. Jericho was a place that smelled good. It had rose gardens everywhere around the city. Roses everywhere, as well as the balsam trees and the cypress trees and the other fragrant bushes that come to your mind. Well, when Jesus approached Jericho, Luke's gospel records in 18, chapter 35 through 43, there was a guy by the name of blind Bartimaeus, or Bartimaeus who was blind. And he cried out for his sight to be restored. And Jesus, coming into the city, heals him of his blindness. And then we read further in the gospel narrative, when Jesus entered Jericho, a little bitty man by the name of Zacchaeus, that is correct. He climbed a tree and spoke to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. And Zacchaeus was saved that very day. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And as Jesus leaves Jericho, the Bible tells us about two blind men calling out for Jesus to heal their blindness. Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, these two gentlemen that were blind, they are examples of Jesus's overwhelming compulsion, his overwhelming drive, his overwhelming purpose, if you will, to serve sinners that are lost and bring them into the kingdom. We always think, you know, God's running around with his giant hammer to beat people up. No, 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 no. God sent his son, Jesus, to save you from your sin penalty and your sin debt. Amen? Amen. Jesus ultimately served all sinners when he died on the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and resurrected the third day back to life, victorious over sin, victorious over death, and victorious over hell. When Jesus was on the earth, we find, as we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that he healed many different sicknesses and diseases. He healed people with palsy. He cleansed folks that had leprosy. He even raised the dead. But if you go through all four Gospels, you will find that the New Testament records over and over again, more and more, that Jesus healed those that were blind than of any other disease or malady. The healing of these two men is a prime example of Jesus healing the blind. And you may ask yourself the question, preacher, why so many blind people healed? What's going on with that? Well, the illustration of the physically blind receiving their sight helps us to relate to the spiritually blind that need to receive their spiritual sight. Spiritual sight, i.e., we're talking about salvation. So as I attempt to take a run at this passage today, I want to share with you three things in this passage. 3 points, whatever you want to call them. And hopefully these things will help you. Help you to give this truth to somebody else. Help you to encourage somebody that needs the encouragement. Perhaps even help you. Number one, we see the condition of these men. The condition of these men. Verses 29 through 30, and they were leaving. And as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men. These two men are a picture of the condition of people outside the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a reminder of what it means to be lost. Two blind men. To be blind physically is an incredible challenge to live with. However, spiritual blindness is exponentially worse. Exponentially worse. Amen. You feel that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 reads this. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Doesn't it blow your mind? I mean, all the news, this Roe v. Wade thing has been overturned. And all of these people, I mean, there's a bunch of them. The news says the majority of the folks here in the country, they would rather see abortion. I don't believe that, but that's what the news says. But all of these folks up in arms about women's rights, a right to choose. You know, and I always think, well, what about a right to contraception? What about your right to say, no, let's don't have unprotected sex? What about that right? Right? Let's plug that right in. Instead of getting pregnant with God's creation and then wanting to say you have a choice to end that life. When I see that, when I see the viciousness, when I see the emotion in those people, when I see their eyes and I hear their speech, it makes me believe, it makes me think that those folks are blind spiritually. They don't get it. Would you agree with that? Okay. Ephesians 4:18 says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They're just simply ignorant. They've not been exposed to the gospel of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. The hardness of their heart. You know, when you can end a life with no consequences, guess what that makes you? It kind of makes you a murderer, right? But it makes you kind of a God figure. You end a life with no consequences? My soul. There's only one God, amen? That's right. To know Jesus as Savior, or to not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, is to be spiritually blind, unable to see. To not know Jesus as Savior and Lord is to be traveling on the wide road that leads to destruction. To not know Jesus as Savior and Lord is to be devoid of the person of the Holy Spirit. We see a lot of that around us, don't we? People all around us see great with their physical eyes. Oh, man, they got Eagle 2020 vision. Man, they got better than 2020 vision. I used to have better 2020 vision. Those days are over. But anyway, they see great with their physical eyes, but not with their spiritual eyes. They have no comprehension of the horror of the penalty of unforgiven sin. Aren't you glad you've been forgiven today? Amen? They cannot see where sin is going to lead them or what sin will do to them. They have no vision of what the wrath to come means. The Bible says there is a judgment. The wrath of God revealed from heaven against sin. But the spiritually blind have no perception of that. And they do not see God's gracious, loving mercy either. Well, back to our Bible passage. These two men sitting along the roadside, these two men would be in constant danger. Constant. At times they might get to the edge of a cliff. At times they might get to the edge of a high spot. And they wouldn't know. They'd never been there before. They would not know that they're about to go over. I mean, we think about these guys. This is way before the Americans with Disabilities Act, way before that. But those who are blind spiritually are in danger of spending eternity apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible warns of everlasting darkness. Matthew 22:13-14 says, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. We see two blind men in this passage, but secondly, we see two beggar men. Two blind beggar men. The passage says in verse 30, it says they were sitting by the road. Blindness had reduced these two men to poverty. But there's more to poverty than just physical poverty. The Bible talks about the poverty of the soul. Many are physically and materially well off, yet they are spiritually bankrupt. Say that with me. Spiritually bankrupt. One more time. Spiritually bankrupt. Bankrupt. Boy, that's a key phrase right there. Don't forget that. These people that snap and go down to their local sporting goods store, or they go down to their local pawn shop, or they go down to their local gun dealer, and they purchase firearms, and they purchase round upon round of ammunition, and then they go and shoot up schoolhouses, and they go shoot up houses of worship, and they go shoot up local grocery stores, or they go shoot up movie theaters, or they go shoot up their places of employment. These folks are spiritually bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. They do not know how to go through spiritual bankruptcy court and have their debt canceled by the great defender, Jesus Christ. They just don't know how to get there. See, there's a wonderful transition when the bankrupt sinner, when the spiritually bankrupt sinner hears the gospel message and finds out they are spiritually poor. Whoo, mercy. Praise God, we found out we were spiritually poor. Praise God, we found out that we couldn't do it on our own. Praise God, man, somebody told us, somebody shared the truth. Praise the Lord. You say, preacher, spiritually poor, good? Spiritually poor, good. Say spiritually poor. Spiritually poor. It's a good thing, right? Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, once we transition from bankruptcy to knowing that we really are poor, man, that's when Jesus can pour it in on us, fill us up. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, those without Jesus Christ are spiritually poor and don't know it today, and thus are living with the turmoil that spiritual bankruptcy brings. Man, when you're bankrupt, there's no hope. When you're bankrupt, what do I do? When you're bankrupt, who do I turn to? But when you're poor, and you know that there's somebody to help you with your poorness, his name's Jesus, totally different thing. Amen? The spiritually bankrupt are like an empty pocket. An empty pocket. I don't know if there's anything more unfashionable than an empty. Now, this pocket don't look too bad. But I've got some jeans. Ooh, there's a little piece of lint right there. Yeah. I've got some jean pockets and some short pockets. Ooh, them pockets look pretty gross. That pocket don't look too bad. The spiritually bankrupt, they're like an empty pocket. A ragged pocket that has been turned inside out, emptied of everything of worth and value. To be lost means to be spiritually sightless, spiritually penniless. That's the condition of the men. Secondly, this morning, we see the cry of the men for mercy. Look at verse 30 with me, and we'll take it through verse 31. Two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. These two men, they're in Jericho. Probably heard a lot about Jesus. That day when Jesus passed by, when they heard Jesus from afar coming, when they heard the crowd coming with him, when they felt the vibration in the ground as the crowd is approaching, they must have began to feel with hope. Their hearts must have began starting to hunger. And here was two men who'd been begging for money, and now we see them begging for mercy. Mercy. Couple things about their cries for mercy. Number one, their cry was internally insightful. What do you mean by that? Well, when they called Lord, Son of David, that statement revealed a few things. That statement revealed great insight that some people who had eyes of 20/20, who could see like an eagle, they had better insight than those people with that incredible physical vision. As Jesus travels to and through Jericho, he's publicly called the Son of David here in Matthew. We read Mark's Gospel, he's called Son of David there. We go to Luke's Gospel, he's called Son of David there. Whether these two men knew it or not, they affirm Jesus to the crowds traveling with him to Jerusalem, and thus these in need of healing struck the keynote introduction for Jesus' triumphal entry at Jerusalem. Lord, Son of David. For you see, Jews in Jerusalem, they claim David as their father, and they claim David's son to be their Messiah. So these two blind men, they address Jesus by his royal name. The Bible had already predicted, way back when, had already predicted that the Messiah would give sight to the blinded eyes. Isaiah chapter 35, 5 says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And you'll remember in the gospel narrative when John the Baptist was in prison and kind of in his little time of pity before he was beheaded, he sent some of his disciples to see if this Jesus really was the real deal. John the Baptist was starting to have some self-doubts, and so he sought out to find out if this Jesus really was the Messiah. So John sent these followers to ask Jesus if he were the one. And in Matthew chapter 11, verses 4 and 5, we read Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Amen? With great insight, these two men asked for mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God being rich in mercy..." Oh man, he's so rich in mercy. "But God being rich in mercy because of his great love..." Say love with me today. Love. "Because of his great love with which he loved us." Titus 3, 5 says, "He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Amen. Mercy is something God has plenty of. And he's willing to give it to you this morning, friend. Those of you watching with me this morning online, he's willing to give you his mercy. He has plenty, plenty, plenty of it. Well, we see the cry of these men was internally insightful, but their cry was externally persistent. We read in verses 30 and 31 that they cried. Then the crowd tried to shut them down, and then they cried some more. They just kept crying out. The two men's insightful, persistent cries, it caused an uproar. You can imagine the town folk of Jericho. You can imagine the town leadership of Jericho. "We don't want no problems here. We don't want no problems, right? We want a smooth transition of this Jesus, this great rabbi." Amen. Everybody's following this rabbi Jesus. "We just want a smooth transition through our town. Just no trouble, just in and out. You know, hey, stop and smell the roses, stop and smell the balsam trees, stop and smell the fragrant bushes, but man, let's keep it moving. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19, 40, that the rocks will do what? The rocks will cry out if we're silent in praising him. So these two old boys by the road, what'd they do? They cried out in praise. They cried out in praise. At this point in Jesus' first advent, what's going on in this first advent? Jesus is on his way to the cross. What's going on in this first advent? His healing ministry was what? His healing ministry has now been left behind. All of Jesus' energy, all of his time, all of his focus is now marshaled for his own suffering, for mine and your sin debt. Nothing can deter him or interrupt him except the needy cry of men calling out his name for mercy. He'll stop what he's doing for that. In his hearing, the men cry above the noise of the crowd. He stops the processional. All of these people with Christ, all of them heading to Jerusalem, he stops the processional. For the two blind beggars have revealed that Jesus the servant and Jesus the Savior are inseparable. You cannot divide him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." If the truth of God's word is impacting you this morning like it did these two men, my advice to you today, watching with me online, my advice to you today would be to cry out for merciful healing, merciful reception of spiritual sight. My advice for you would be to call out for salvation today. As the sovereignty of God arranged the circumstances so these two men might experience the truth of Christ, so to you that are here this morning, To you who are watching online, the same opportunity is available for you. The question is, will you take it? Will you take it? As the sensitive ears of these two men heard the passing of Jesus, which caused a hunger in their souls for healing, will you, my dear friends, hear the knocking of the person of the Holy Spirit? Will you hear it? Will you listen to it? As with conviction, He knocks on the door of your heart. And will you let Jesus not just pass by, but will you let Jesus come in? Amen? That brings us to point number three, and we'll be done. And that is the touch of the Master. The touch of the Master. Praise God for His touch. We look here in verse 32, and Jesus stopped and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The servant, they said to Him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be open." The Savior, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed Him. Jesus called these men to Himself, verse 32. These men no doubt jumped to their feet, turned to Jesus, following His every voice, following the every timber of His voice, the every note of His voice, the direction of His voice. These men were locked on to it like radar, man. They went right to Him. We have a picture of leaving our old life behind right here for a new and better life. Amen. We get up from our old life, we go to this new life of Christ. As the scales of lostness fall from our eyes, we're able to follow our Master and Savior as He leads on this narrow path of righteousness. But first, we have to hear the call. And next, we have to respond appropriately to the call from the Savior. We've got to respond. And what keeps us from hearing? Pastor, what keeps us from responding? Pastor, why won't my neighbor receive? Why won't my family member receive? Why won't my co-worker receive? Why won't my contact here receive? Why won't these people on social media receive? Why won't they receive at the family reunion? Why won't they receive? Well, it comes down to this thing called sin. Usually, the sinner has a grip on sin, or sin has a grip on the sinner. That's what it all boils down to, friend. You say, "Really, Pastor, it's that simple?" It's that simple. One day, a little boy got his hand caught in a vase. His parents discovered him, and he was frustrated and crying and all sweating up. Couldn't get his hand out of the vase. They tried and tried. They put some butter down that thing and poured a little oil down that thing. Nothing doing. They could not get that hand out of that vase. They finally put some eye protection on the little boy and wrapped his little arm up as best they could and took him outside, and Dad got a hammer and said, "Hold still." "Okay." Tears running down his face. Dad took a hold of that vase and cracked it with that old hammer. Broke it apart. Nobody got cut. Nobody got harmed. They said, "Son, what are you holding on to?" He made a little fist. That fist wasn't coming out of that vase. He said, "Oh, this?" And he turned. It was one of those Susan B. Anthony dollars. Amen. Now, somebody could tell him that's only worth about 20 cents now. I mean, you could have let go of that, son. but he had a death grip on those dollar coins, man. I think they're still in circulation. I haven't seen one in a long time. Susan B. Anthony coin. But some people hold on to that coin, that sin in their life. They will not let it go. They will not let it go. Well, friend, if you can let it go, Jesus will cure you right up. He will cure you right up. They said to Him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be open." And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed Him. Jesus cured the men. Friend, that is how instantly salvation happens. That's how quick you can be saved. Like that. The moment you ask God to forgive you of your sin penalty and receive you and receive Him as Savior instantaneously, that very moment, you are saved. Amen? Do you see how Jesus put faith into the situation? Do you see how He put that faith in there? Grace is the hand that extends salvation to us. Faith is the hand that reaches out to receive salvation extended to us. They got up. They came over. We want to have our eyes open. Jesus, that's what we want. Hands outstretched. The Word of God says in Ephesians 2:8, you know the passage. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen? We've got a couple of folks in our congregation getting ready to go off and do some medical missionary work. That's a great thing, you know what? You go and help people with their physical ailments, and then in the midst of that, you show them the love of Christ. I mean, you know, to fly halfway around the world, to take all of the shots to get ready to go halfway around the earth is an act of love. I mean, it is an act of love. The junk they pump in your body, I mean, you know, some of you have struggled with the COVID vaccine and this vaccine. Man, you get ready to go overseas and you got a bunch of vaccines. Just roll up your sleeves and pull your pants about halfway down. They're going to stick you like a pincushion, man, to get you to get ready to go halfway around the world. Just to take the shots is an act of love. We got two people out of our church, Terry and Maddie, getting ready to go to Africa. It opens the doors of all kinds of gospel presentation. When you tell people, when you show people, we love you physically so much that we'll come over here, spend money to come over here to help you. And man, when you get ready to talk about Christ, their ears are ready to hear. A medical missionary, he performed a surgery on a poor blind man. Removed some cataracts from his eyes. Got him all healed up. Got his sight back, right? You know, those of you that had cataracts before, you know how they just take your sight completely away from you. Sometime after the operation, the man healed up and he disappeared. And about 10 days later, medical missionary, he opened his door, and guess what he found? He found the man that he had performed the surgery on had a rope. And attached to the rope were 10 more blind people ready for surgery, right? Ready for surgery on their physical eyes and ready for surgery on their spiritual eyes. As a medical missionary would get ready to operate, do the pre-op on each one, he would present the gospel. His team would present the gospel to these folks. And invariably, each one would receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Amen? Well, have you received Christ? Yes, yes? Are you saved up? Headed for the day of redemption? Well, you know what I bet there is out there? Out there in the midst of all this anger over Roe v. Wade, all this, out there in the midst of all this anger of President Trump nominating 3 conservative justices, out there in the midst of all this political turmoil, you know what I bet there is out there? Oh, I know it. There's some blind folk. They need somebody like you. I'm going to put a rope around them and bring them to the gospel. Bring them to the healing. There's some folks out there. You know, they're angry until they find out that you're on the different side of the coin, the different side of the perspective, but you still love them enough to tell them the truth in love. That anger kind of melts away. And then you can apply your gospel cure. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for this beautiful picture of your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful picture of these two men, their insight, and their impassioned cry for mercy. And Lord, we're thankful for the picture of sovereignty. Here they are in need of sight, and here Jesus is, the one to give it. Right there on the outskirts of Jericho, right there on the way to Jesus going to Jerusalem to die for our sins. What a beautiful picture it is, God. What a beautiful picture it is. Lord, if there's somebody that we know that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may we think about them during this invitation. May we intercede on their behalf, praying, Lord, that they might finally figure out that they're spiritually bankrupt. And Lord, once they get to that point, they can transition to being spiritually poor. And once we know we're spiritually poor, that's when we can receive the great payout of the gospel, Jesus Christ. So Lord, may we pray in earnest. May we pray with passion. May we pray with great, great, great focus today for those that don't know you as personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, by the preaching of your word and the prayer of your saints and the love of your church, may you continue to draw people to your side for salvation. We love you today. We praise you today for all that you're doing in us and for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. We'll stand all over the sanctuary. We'll have time of invitation. Jeremiah, lead us. Altars are open. If you feel so led to come, you come and pray.
Covers me there with his hand.
Amen, amen. Boy, Jesus is alive. Amen. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, man. Jesus is alive. He's coming back. Tonight we'll be back in Revelation, so come back and get you some of that if you want. And my goodness, next week will be 4th of July. Can you believe it? Where has the summer gone? Amen. Let's see here. You got a mic up there? You got a mic right there. All right. Very good. Brother Ronnie, you close us out. We'll be dismissed, man. Amen.
Lord, we just come to you, Lord. Just thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. This don't apply to our minds. Apply to our hearts, Lord. We want to be more like you, and we need to grow with you, Lord, and use that Holy Spirit as a guide, Lord. Thank you again for this word, Lord, and thank you for the pastor for bringing it to us, Lord. May we have us give us a safe trip home, and hopefully see us back later tonight. We pray this in your holy, precious name. Amen.